What is up, everybody? Week five, it's upon us. We're a third of the way done with the regular season. It's going by too fast. Joined as always, Todd, Nick, and Q. What's up, boys?
What's going on?
What's up?
Another week.
Got everybody survived.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Bounce back week. Now, it's kind of been a weird, slow week, I guess. Not really a whole lot of line movement from, especially up at the top. I think everything's pretty much stayed around what it opened at.
Tight lines.
Getting right into it, and I apologize if our website has been down. We are working on it, trying to make it better, but while also trying to get it back live. So hopefully they'll get that figured out. Anyways, Oklahoma State, Kansas, starting off, both teams coming off their first loss of the season. Oklahoma State is 4-1 in their last five matchups against Kansas State here. Projections have this one a tight one. I actually laid it with Kansas State earlier in the week. Just not buying into this Oklahoma State team. I think K-State has a lot more to play for and to bounce back here. Despite Avery Johnson just not looking as good as what he was hopefully coming into the season like he would be. I think Big 12 race is still out there for him, but not so much Oklahoma State. They can't figure out the run game. Ollie Gordon has struggled really badly. Q, I'm going to go to you. What are you doing in this one?
I actually have Kansas State in a moneyline parlay that you guys will see this week. But I agree. I think Ollie Gordon is the offense at Oklahoma State. He's struggling. And Kansas State notoriously has good defenses. So to have a struggling running back against a top-end, you know, run-stopping D is just not good. On top of Kansas State just getting obliterated in Provo, yeah, the last week. So I think the Cats bounce back in a good way at home.
Nick?
Yeah, I would lean Kansas State too. I don't know if I'll have a play on this game. The Kansas State, this line is probably a little bit under what it would have been. But everybody's looking at that score from that BYU game last weekend. But if you saw it, it was what the turnover fest, punt return for a touchdown, fumble return for a touchdown, made it look a lot worse than it actually was. Now, that talks about the Kansas State defense. Now, their offense, there's not much excuse for that. Like, I'm not sure where Avery Johnson just didn't have it. And if once they get behind, he doesn't have the arm talent to kind of bring them back like that. This is a team that needs to stay close in games and be able to run the ball 40 to 50 times. Which I think they'll be able to do against Oklahoma State, whose offense is also struggling. I mean, Bowman got benched in the third quarter last week against Utah. That doesn't say a whole lot about, like, what's their confidence in him right now, considering a guy who's been in the NCAA for 7 years. You think you kind of know what to expect from him. I'm not on anything right now. I would probably lean over just because both these rush defenses are awful, and that's what both teams are going to really try to focus on this week. But yeah, no play for me right now, but I think it's probably the best game at noon. So a lot of eyes will be on it.
Toddy.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Gordon has not really done much, so they really got to get him moving. I think Nick made a good point. They did bench Bowman. Just turnover machine at times. Johnson's coming off a really ugly performance. Home field's going to be key in this. I'd like to jump on this too. I would say right now I'll do a lean towards Kansas State. Just some numbers. Home teams in the series, they're 5-1 straight up, 6-0 ATS. And Kansas State's a really good team coming off a loss to cover the spread. So keep that in mind. But my lean right now would be Kansas State.
So I kind of blew past it in the intro, but Smitty saying home team there, we do have a special announcement to make. We're really excited to announce the partnership. And I've got a little commercial. Sorry, you have to listen to me for 30 seconds, but tune in to see the new announcement and our proud new sponsor. I want to tell you guys about our new sponsor, Home Field Apparel. Started in 2018, this vintage collegiate apparel company is home to some of the most creative and premium quality t-shirts and jackets money can buy. With licensing deals with nearly 200 collegiate teams, from the Blue Blood programs to the Purple Aces of Evansville, Homefield has you covered. Use code INSIDERS at checkout to receive 15% off your first order and upgrade your closet today. So there you go. If you have not checked out homefieldapparel.com, go do so right now. Use that code INSIDERS. I'm really excited about this. Like their stuff is awesome. I may just get.
I got many shirts, and I will say this too. Both my daughters are really big into wearing sweatshirts, and so I bought those like a year ago or 2 years ago for Christmas, and they absolutely love them. They live in them, so very great quality stuff. They do an unbelievable job.
Yeah, they've got a Arkansas hoodie that's got like the script font from the old baseball team. Wish they'd go back to that personally, but yeah, I've got my eye on that. Probably going to order it. I'm a big long sleeve and shorts guy. Oh, I don't know why.
That's what I guess
my arms stay cold. Yeah, I'll wear shorts, never get cold, but like we go into a restaurant or something in summer, they've got that AC blasting. I like a jacket. Ain't going to lie. Sissy. All right, the other noon game, we've got Maryland Terrapins taking on the Fighting Kurt Cignettis here. Both teams. No, sorry. I was about to read the wrong line. Maryland's only loss was to Michigan State, 27-24. Other than that, two pretty comparable teams here. We make this line a lot shorter than what the actual spread is. I think now it's moved to 7. Indiana has covered in their last 3. Over has hit 4 out of the last 5 in this matchup. Are you betting against Indiana in this one, Q, or are you riding with the points with Maryland?
I really want to take Indiana. I haven't bet yet, but it's tough. Like, it's, you know, we're at that stretch where Maryland's 3-1. Do they just kind of fall off the cliff like the mocks, like Mike Loxley that we know? And is Indiana truly legit? Like, they're 4-0. Can they get to that 5-0 mark? That's massive. This is kind of that the teams get their first 4 wins, and then maybe they have, you know, 1 or 2 losses, and a couple weeks you're looking at a 4-2, 4-3 team. We're about to find out. I love Indiana in the teaser spot. I don't know if I'll pull the trigger on this. I think it's, like you said, 7 right now. If I was to play that line, I'd probably buy the extra juice and drop it down to 6.5. But I definitely lean Indiana.
Nikki.
Yeah, we're riding that wagon. I am staying on Indiana. They've made me money the last 2 weeks.
Jim, you're the West.
Fairly easily. So, yeah, it's one of my top 3 plays, as we'll see later in the show. Top 3 bets of the week is Indiana 6.5. I don't think these teams are comparable. I mean, Maryland, Michigan State, I don't think is good at all. And that's Maryland's like one quality game and they lost it. Old Mini Tua is not there anymore. I just don't trust this Maryland team at all. Indiana, you mentioned Kurt Cignettis. He just wins, as his famous press conference says. So I have no reason, until Indiana gives me a reason to fade them, I will absolutely stay on this wagon, keep letting them make me money.
Toddy,
close. Well, I hope it's not Indiana, what Q said, that wins 4 and then drops 3. I don't need that because I have their win total. So get another win here, and that'd be 5, and then I just need one more. You know, what I dove into this is some of the scores in some of their games. Like, if you look at Indiana, I mean, their last 3, they scored 77, 42, 52. Maryland's been scoring 27, 27, 38. There's no play yet for me. I really hope Indiana wins. But maybe keep an eye on that over.
Yep. Like I said, the over in this series has cashed 4 out of the last 5. Moving over, Nikki's team, Notre Dame, hosting Louisville, who is on their first road trip of the season. So don't let that 3-0 record fool you, because I think Notre Dame is much more battle-tested in this one. You look at the strength schedule, 124 for Louisville. I don't really know anybody notable that they've beaten, and albeit they are 3-0 ATS, I give the lean here to Notre Dame. I just don't know which Notre Dame team we get, and that concerns me. So, Q, what are you doing here?
Spot on. I mean, do we get the team that dropped to NIL or NIU, or do we keep the team that's been motivated and just blowing through teams? Like, it's hard to tell. I mean, Notre Dame teams, and I say this is a big game because it's just a top 20 matchup, but I've watched games where Louisville's made it a 9-6 game a couple years ago. Like, is that the same kind that we're in for? The 6 seems a little high. Like, I kind of agree. I think it's going to be kind of a field goal game. Because I don't know if Notre Dame can keep that tenacity for 3 straight weeks. I hate to bash your team, Nick, but It's just a team that has faltered in big games. And again, maybe in reality, this isn't a huge game, but on paper it is, and maybe it trips them up. But I think it's going to be closer than maybe people think.
I know you didn't mean to say it, but you said NIL, which brings me to kind of, yeah. I think everybody is losing to the NIL right now. Don't want to play them, especially UNLV. Yeah. All right, Nick, let us have it.
Yeah, I mean, this is there's a couple different ways. Like Q said, which Notre Dame team shows up? This is basically probably the only team in the country where we've seen their A game, like they just absolutely dominated Texas A&M, and then we've seen their F game. So we've seen as good as they can possibly play. We've seen as bad as they can possibly play. Now, do they fall somewhere in the middle? Are they more of like what we saw from that A game in Texas A&M as what they've shown the last couple weeks? So it's just hard to predict until we kind of get further along in the season. This game should tell us a lot, though, because schedule-wise, this is one of their tougher games they have left, which means they should be putting everything into this week. This is also a revenge game from last year where Louisville beat them on their home turf. Now they have to head up to South Bend. I just think everything towards me, and it's partially the fan in me, but everything leans Notre Dame here. Marcus Freeman can't have another letdown. He's already, like, boosters are already not happy. Like, he's not close to getting fired. I'm not going to say that, but he can't keep having just letdown games and games they're supposed to win. So, yeah, I lean Notre Dame here. Six is probably pretty close to spot on, especially in a game that's probably going to be pretty low scoring. Both teams are going to try to keep it on the ground. Jeff Brohm does scare me with Louisville. He's very good game planner, but coming off a closer game than I think they expected to have with Georgia Tech last week, I do think Notre Dame here is where I'd lean, but I'm not touching it. I hate betting on my own team, so yeah, I'm staying away, and I'll just try to watch it and hope for the win.
Smitty.
Yeah, I was not going to show up today because Grissom promised me some new merchandise, and I still have not got it, so I wasn't going to come on air, but I mean, hopefully it's in the mail, and the deal will be fine. So now, this one, it's always tough when I have a play on Notre Dame because then I'm like, Nick's going to really analyze everything I say about his team. So
I'll just tell you,
I think, oh, I know. I know you will, Nick. I think the injuries with the line is concerning a little bit. Leonard's not really pushing the ball down the field. He is using his legs right now, running, having some big games here. I think Louisville is a quick kind of strike team, like some quick slants and everything too. So you're going to see this in a little bit. This did make my card. Wins could be double digits. I gave it out with the Texas Tech Arizona State game last week when it's over 10 miles per hour. There's a pretty good percentage on the under. So I'm looking for a tight game. I think Notre Dame's going to win the game. I think they're a better team, but I'm hoping it's a low scoring, run the ball, tick, tick, tick. Let's get out of there with a close game, but a low scoring game.
Sean, thanks for tuning in. Same, Smitty. What are you talking about? You should be able to hop on and talk about the Arkansas Razorbacks while the merch you have now. All right. Texas A&M has won and covered four of the last five here at Jerry World. Arkansas and A&M both coming off really ugly wins, though. Auburn 24-14. Bowling Green for Texas A&M 26-20. Y'all hear that?
Yeah, what is that?
That's the dogs.
Yeah, well, tell your dog to stop talking.
Everyone in the Oklahoma drill under there.
Yeah. This is going to be the last time that we play in Arlington. So this will, I guess A&M's going to roll off our schedule. We'll start playing home and homes. Kind of bittersweet here. We've not really, it hadn't been good to us here lately. But I don't know. Arkansas has yet to put together a four-quarter game. We saw, I guess you can't really count UAPB. We saw a good half against Oklahoma State. We saw a decent third quarter against UAB. We saw a good fourth quarter against Auburn. Now, if they could pair it all together and beat this Texas A&M team that I think is lackluster, and matter of fact, I mean, I think it's laughable that they're still in the top 25. That being said, Q, I know betting on the Hogs for you has not been good, so you probably won't have a bet here, but what are you doing? Also, I will say, that plus 10.5 that I got for the early line a few weeks ago, that's looking really good because I think this thing's going to close around 4.
Yeah, that was a good line. Look ahead for you. I'm going to stay away. I just – anytime I bet Arkansas, they let me down. So I'm just – they're kind of like the Penn State for me that I'm finding out. Anytime I bet Penn State or Arkansas, and I go against them, they either win outright or whatever the situation may be. Or if I tail that team, then they always shit the bed. So I'll just stay away. I do think it's going to be a competitive game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any means. I think A&M is going to be up for it. I think Arkansas is going to be up for it too. You know, it's typically they've had pretty decent matchups, at least in the first half, and it's kind of gotten away in Jerry's world there. But I'll be looking forward to watch it, and should be a good old Southwest Conference rivalry game.
Nick?
Yeah, not much on this game, honestly. I don't know what to expect. Like you said, I don't think either team has played a full four quarters yet. So it's kind of tough to mention Arkansas. A&M's kind of the same way. They have been more explosive, though, since switching quarterbacks. So that would make me lean towards A&M winning the game. Now, I do think it'll probably stay close. That spread's probably about right. I would expect it to – like, if I would have made this before the lines came out, I would have guessed somewhere between, like, 4-7 A&M's way. But, yeah, so it's also, like, what do both – I think Texas A&M has a better defense here, which makes me lean them, just because I don't know if Arkansas can really stop everything that A&M does. They probably have more weapons also than anybody Arkansas has faced this year. So, yeah, I would lean A&M, but no play here from me.
Yeah, no play for me. I did look at this, and I was trying to really dive into it. Arkansas was good for me last week. That was my best bet. So, I'm leaning them a little bit. I think it's going to be tight. I think it's going to be – I could see it being up and down a little bit too, maybe some points on this on the board here. But this would be a really close game. I think it's going to be a competitive game. So it's a stay away for me.
All right. Moving on to the team that Arkansas just beat. Auburn hosts Oklahoma. And I don't understand this line. I feel like it's kind of like a trap game by the book here. Sean says Arkansas has played better football than A&M. They just need to not beat themselves. Agree. They always do. That's welcome to Arkansas. Hogs gonna hog. Oklahoma coming off a loss to Tennessee, both lost at home. I don't know what's up with this line. Again, I feel like Oklahoma should be just an auto bet. I feel like benching Jackson Arnold gives them the best chance to win. That kid looked good. He kind of reminds me of like a Bryce Young, Kyler Murray type player. I think he's going to be able to do good things. I don't trust Hugh Freeze in the fact that this locker room, he kind of threw all of his players under the bus. Now he's getting into it with Bo Wallace and all this Twitter beef. Like, I don't know. But I don't know anything about Auburn right now. I have zero confidence in them. Have a lot more confidence in Brent Venables and Oklahoma to show up, flex their muscle on defense. They've got a better defense than Arkansas. Their offense may not be as explosive, but I feel like they can get it right here and cover this short number. Q?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I think Oklahoma's defense is playing really well. Auburn's offense is lackluster, so that's obviously good for the Sooners. I think it's a good bounce back spot. You know, they played up last week against Tennessee, kind of, you know, let down, especially on the offensive side of things. You've got to think that unit's going to be, you know, more focused this week against a very beatable, you know, SEC team. This is where Oklahoma wants to kind of make its case as an SEC matchup. Hey, we can be here. We can win these games. And typically Auburn is kind of one of your better SEC and conference teams. So I think they look for that. And then the Hugh Freeze drama with Bo Wallace going back and forth. Again, he pretty much said, yeah, it's not because of me we lost, it's the team, and kind of dimed him out individually. And I got to imagine as a head coach, like there's a line between it, saying things in the locker room and then publicly to the media, to then have to go back to your team and be like, all right, boys, let's rally up together and let's get this win. Like that's a tough spot to be in because you just publicly bashed them. So I think Auburn at home is just Oklahoma's going to be too much for him.
He didn't like your take.
Apparently not.
I haven't played it yet. I haven't played it yet, but I'm probably going to be on Oklahoma. I think the worry here, I think this line is based on Jordan Hare for Oklahoma having their freshman quarterback. His first ever start is going to be in Jordan Hare, which is not a fun place to play, whether Auburn is good or bad. That place is going to be full. It's going to be loud, especially what they want to welcome Oklahoma to the SEC first time coming there. So I think that's why this line is probably so set so low. unless we're missing things. Oklahoma has a lot of injuries as well, so that kind of hurts. But I think what kind of separates it is Oklahoma is leading the country in takeaways, and Auburn just cannot stop turning the ball over. So Oklahoma's get their fair share there. I'm not sure what they're going to do at quarterback. I mean, Auburn went with Hank Brown because Peyton Thorne was turning the ball over too much. Then Hank Brown throws three interceptions, and he immediately gets pulled to put Peyton Thorne back in the game. So I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback. They might end up doing something like they did a few years ago and find a receiver to put in there that can just run because that might put him in a better place. But, yeah, I'll probably be on Oklahoma here as well. I just haven't played it yet. And really not sure why, but I will probably be on Oklahoma by the end of the day today.
Yeah, it's right around the board here. I have not played it yet. I do like Oklahoma in this. I think the defense travels. They have a great defense. Nick just said it down in my notes. Which quarterback are they going to play? Both of them are turnover machines at Auburn. And, you know, I think what Nick said there too, it's their first road trip of the year. So I think, and then you add the new quarterback in. So I think that really goes with this line. But looking at their schedule with Auburn, you know, they beat Alabama A&M at home. They beat New Mexico at home. Okay, well, those two teams not very good. And then they've lost to Cal and Arkansas. So the two teams that are really good teams, I'm not saying really great teams, but they're better teams, they've lost to. So I think this fits well for Oklahoma. I think defense will travel. They do have injuries, like Nick said, but I think I'm going to be on board with you guys too. I think Oklahoma gets the win here.
All right. Over to Penn State. We've got a Big Ten matchup, two ranked teams. Brett Bielema has Illinois 4-0. That may be the fugaziest 4-0. We'll see against Penn State. The numbers are short on the site. Penn State's laying 18 right now. Penn State's won 4 of the last 5 against Illinois. Do you think that trend continues and Penn State just waxes them like the odds makers think? Or does Brett Bielema have one more cover in him?
Tight line. I got this at like a 17-21 point game. Penn State's no doubt going to win this game. It's a whiteout. They typically don't lose their whiteout games unless it's against Michigan or Ohio State. And they gave Illinois and Bielema gave Penn State bulletin board material, kind of making fun of the whiteout. So it's a cardinal sin. You don't do that. You don't give teams ammunition. And like you said, it's a fugazi 4-0. I thought they should have lost last week. They escaped Lincoln with a win, and here they're going to catch their first loss. And again, it's a tight line. That 18's tight. It's going to be 17-21.
And beat Kansas, which I felt like Kansas probably should have won that game. But
well, I'll say Kansas is looking
blunders. But I do think that bulletin board material was slightly taken out of context because the clip, everybody left off like the first 10 seconds of the
– well,
yeah. It took off the first 10 seconds of the clip where he was talking about the time he had spent there and how much he enjoyed it. But, yeah, Nick, what do you make of this game?
Yeah, I'm with Q. I'm not going to play a side here. I would lean Penn State. I'm high on this Penn State team. I think they've kind of figured something out offensively with Drew Aller actually being able to throw the ball downfield. I really do think they figured it out. And this is just especially an athletic mismatch, in my opinion. However, I think the Illinois offense has been, excuse me, a little bit better than I expected. So I have a lean here for this game. And it's actually the Illinois team total with it only being set at 13.5. I think we even could get an easy back door here, maybe in the third, like late fourth quarter. We know Franklin loves to hit those spreads, but I do think Illinois could be late. Like they've been pretty good, offensively, better than expected. So my lean here is team total over 13.5. It probably moves before the weekend. So this is probably going to be another one that I jump on tonight.
Yeah. These are one of those when you see the spread for the first time, you're like, there's no way, because Illinois come off a big win, and you're like, man, they'll compete. My good friend Dr. Brent sent right away. He went to Penn State, diehard Penn State fan. He's like, I think that's way too many points. I'm like, what is it? And I was shocked when I heard it. I didn't think it was going to be 18. I really didn't, because I think this Illinois team, again, we said it last week, they've been balanced. You always think of them pounding the ball. They are throwing. The quarterback, I think, is really good. I think he's a good quarterback. My thing is, and Q said whiteout, that's a tough place to go. During any time to Beaver Stadium, then you throw the whiteout game into it. It's extremely tough. I think, though, what Penn State team is going to show up. We saw a really good Penn State team against West Virginia. Outler was throwing the ball down the field. Bowling Green, though, a little struggle. So what team is going to be there? I think they'll be motivated. It is the whiteout game. But, man, that's a lot of points. I think Q kind of said it. I think it's when you say it's probably going to go fly way over. Penn State's going to win probably by 30. But I really like what Nick just said, and I made a little note. Keep an eye on that team points because I really like that explanation. Good play.
All right. The primetime matchup, we've got Georgia at Alabama. Bama has won 4 of the last 5 against Georgia. They're at home. I know Nick Saban's gone. I'm still saying roll tide here. I think they are just more prolific on offense. I just don't trust Georgia's defense to be the defense of old. And if they get down, I don't think Carson Beck has a comeback in him. Quentin?
What I like the under. I like the under. I know our site doesn't like the under, but again, I think this is probably two of the worst offenses we've seen out of both teams in quite some time. I think Georgia's going to be able to contain Miller a little bit. Game's going to start a little slow. I lean a first quarter under, and I think that the game under, I've already bet it. I think I got it at 48.5. I like it. I mean, if it goes over, it is what it is. But I think this is a 24-20 game, somewhere around that mark.
Nick?
Yeah, I played it a little bit different way than Q, but we're on the same page. I took the first half under 24.5. Both these teams at least so far this year, have started slowly. Even Bama against the very underwhelming Wisconsin team still started slowly and then kind of just took the game over. And Georgia, we've seen kind of how that go. Even against Clemson, they started slow. Kentucky was really slow. They just haven't – like you said, they don't have the same offense that they've had in the past. What worries me is Alabama has had a couple games where their secondary keeps blowing coverages. But luckily it's been against bad quarterbacks who haven't been able to make them pay for it. Beck, with all of his shortcomings, can still hit those – he can still hit those receivers in the open field. So that's what kind of keeps you away from his side here is I can – like if you tell me Georgia wins by 20 – that doesn't surprise me. Or if you tell me Alabama wins by 10, that wouldn't surprise me either. So I just don't know how this is going to go from a side. So I'll just enjoy watching the game. But like I said, played first half under 24.5. Also, if you live in a state that allows it, Tennessee does not. Jalen Milroe over rush attempts. I don't care what the number is, play it. Like they will run Milroe into the ground this game. And they'll have no shame in doing so. So that would be my probably play of the game if I could play it.
He'll probably have 20 rushes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think this is a good spot with the quarterbacks too for the Heisman. I think if one of these quarterbacks really have a big game here, this is really going to put them up there on the board here, maybe to win the Heisman. So keep an eye on that. But no, I agree with the Milroe. I agree with both what they just said there. Q said that on the recap show earlier in the week about the 48.5. I think that's a good play. I like the first half under 2. I think it's tough for the side. I really do. I kind of lean a little bit with Bama home field. I don't know if I'll take any of that. If I play anything here, I'm probably taking one of those. I think we've given it all out the first half game. So let's jump on that under and hopefully it's slow. So, but I think that's the play where I'd probably go in the direction I want to go.
And to Smitty's point here, Carson Beck, 14-1 on DraftKings to win the Heisman. Jalen Milroe's plus 700. If you like Georgia in this game, it would probably be worth it to go ahead and bet a little bit on Carson Beck to win the Heisman.
Yeah, I think that's a 10.5 for sure.
Yeah, it's a really good point. Good job, Smitty. All right, and the get-out game late at night. Arizona Wildcats coming off a bye to take on other familiar foe in the Pac-12, now both in the Big 12. Utah's won 4 of the last 5. Does Arizona bounce back after what they lose to Kansas State?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had a bye week last week.
Yeah, Utah just the second half of that game, I know they were out. You know, they dominated Oklahoma State. The score wasn't indicative of the game, but Does that carry over? Do you have a little hangover there back at home? It's Cam Rising. I'm really sick of hearing about it. Is he going to play or not? I don't know. I don't trust this Utah team, but on the flip side, staring at Arizona 0-3 ATS, the power ratings are close. I mean, 8 points on our IPR, and then you add in home field for Utah. That's right there at the spread of 11. I don't want to touch it unless I'm just up a lot and really want to watch this game, have some money on it. But Q, what are you doing here?
I lean that Arizona finally gets at least a spread cover. You got to think that practice, they had a couple days off and then really hit it hard. That was just a terrible showing that Friday night, just fully embarrassed on national television. Fifita's got to play better. They know that. Defense has got to step up. Utah can't move the ball without Cam Rising, so if he's not playing, Arizona could win outright. I have this game as like a 7 to 10 point game. Utah, like you said, though, it's hard to see what Utah you get because you never know who's playing and who's not. It's a tough place to play, but again, Arizona, you know, is familiar with this Utah team. It's not like it's a new Big 12 matchup for them. They've got to come out laser focused. I think they can keep it within 11 here.
Nick?
Yeah, staying far away from everything about this game. Like you said, don't know what to expect from Arizona. I'm done trying to figure out what Utah is going to do. They won me money last week, and I don't care. Like, they still made me mad doing so. I don't even know if Cam Rising is alive. Some people said they saw him pregame. I don't believe it. I don't know. I'm staying away from Utah game. No Fifita and Tedrell McMillan. Fantastic QB wide receiver duo, but that's kind of all they've shown. And Utah secondary is one of the best in the country. This place is a very, very underrated place to play as well. This place is always loud. Teams hate traveling there, whether it was like non-conference games, ask the Pac-12 or Utah just dominated games at home. So I would lean Utah winning this game. Staying away from the spread, especially if Isaiah Wilson plays again, how many points can they put up to be able to cover it? But yeah, I do think Utah comes out on top here, but just a number I'm staying away from.
Yeah, very tough place to play. Great environment. You know, they're going to go to the run again. Bernard's been really good last couple games, 118, 123, 182 on the ground. So they're going to really pound the ball. But the big question again is who's quarterback in here? I mean, you just don't know. Is it going to be him? Nick said about the combo, the quarterback to the wide receiver. It's one of the best in the nation, but their secondary is so good. Yeah, this is one. It's a late one. You get bored. You know, you want to throw something on it, so we'll probably throw something on it. But right now, it's a stay away for me. It's just too many question marks. And coming off a bye, too. I mean, you got to always watch those teams coming off a bye. They're going to be ready. But it's like Nick said, a very tough place to play. So right now, it's no play for me.
All right, let's get into our best bets.
A burial, a blowout, a human lock. You can bet your children's, unborn children's, children on these six games.
Absolutely. Had to throw a little two for the money in. One of the best movies ever. All right, I have my best bet, Oklahoma -2. Throw out the trap game. I think Oklahoma's just the better team. Arkansas +4.5. That's the current line. And then I'm on Roll Tide +2. Very, very red theme here going. Hopefully
I think
it's
played red last week,
game.
Too. I think all three were red.
I think so. All right, Q.
Can't hang with the Gators. They're on a bye week. We can't lose. So it would
They'll figure out a way.
Yeah. We've already lost. We still have Billy Napier through the bye week, apparently. Nebraska, I think they bounce back in a big way against Purdue. Purdue's bad. It doesn't matter if they're home or away. Nebraska losing in Lincoln last week was tough. I don't think anybody saw that. But then to then be able to take your frustrations out on Purdue, I think it could be like a Notre Dame situation again there. Oklahoma, trap game, like Matt said, I don't think so. I like that as soon as I saw it. And then Buffalo. Buffalo's playing really good football. This might be the nail in the coffin for Jim Mora at UConn. This Buffalo team's good. They you read the VSiN guy. They were supposed to be, I think, over under 3.5 or 4.5 wins. They're already kind of looking to eclipse that. They've played really good football, and I think +7 is just too high. I think they could win the game outright, personally.
Nick?
Yeah, best bet. Oregon team total over 40.5. We mentioned, I mean, they're off a bye, but this is a team. We think this team's right at the ship. How they looked against Oregon State a couple weeks ago. I expect this offense to kind of just keep exploding from here on out. And this is also a huge fade against UCLA, who their defense is just not any good. So we mentioned how if you want a late game to bet on, this one I believe starts at like 11 Eastern time. So this is a very, very late game. If you're looking to stay up till 2 a.m., want some money on something, this Oregon team total is where mine's going to be. Mentioned Indiana already. Sticking with the wagon. Curtis Rourke, keep coming. And then Ole Miss, -9.5 in the first half, playing Kentucky there at home. I think Kentucky is more of the team we saw against South Carolina than the team we saw against Georgia. That was just so much kind of home field. Everything was hype and adrenaline. I just think this Ole Miss team is just a completely different level. And they've been, if you've seen the way they've been starting games, they've been putting up 14, 20 points in basically the first quarter of every game. Don't see how this Kentucky team, even with a decent defense that Kentucky has, I don't see them being able to keep up here or score enough points to keep this within double digits in the first half.
Well, I know that.
A little Lou Holtz there. All right, yeah. Smitty, take it away.
Yeah, let's go Baylor. I think it was 3 earlier in the week. This is one that, you know, BYU comes in town. Big win last week against Kansas State. Baylor had a really tough loss to Colorado on a Hail Mary, and they fumbled going in to maybe send it to another OT here. So I don't like the hook, but I just could not leave it off my card. They're 0-2 on the road, but they're 2-0 at home. I think it's a good bounce back. I think they cover this. Like I said earlier, I just think Notre Dame, I think this game's going to be close. Hopefully it's low scoring. There's a little bit of wind. And then why Old Dominion, Bowling Green, I went with under 51. Again, if you look on covers right now, they have anywhere from 13 to 15 miles per hour winds. I like that over 10. Old Dominion, if you look at some of their scores, they're not scoring a ton of points. So hopefully this one can hit under the 51. That's my best bet for the weekend.
All right, let's try to repeat last week. 11-1, we'll try to go undefeated. As always, this is for entertainment purposes only. Problem gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Good luck. All right, for Todd, Q, Nick, and myself, thank you all. Looking forward to a good week 5 slate. Cash some tickets. And until the recap show next week, have a good weekend.